Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hey now, welcome to episode number 8 of the Batman on Film Social Hour. I am the founder of Batman on Film, Bill Jett Ramey, and we're coming at you with another audio-only podcast version of the Social Hour. So, at some point, we'll fix ourselves up and, you know, actually take a shower and groom ourselves so we can do this. We can do it on video. I mean, I have a bandana on because I'm going to work out after this. And I'm just, you know, I just said, I'm just not going to go through the whole rigmarole for this today. So I apologize. But a lot of y'all like listening to the podcast version anyway. So anyway, real quick before I introduce who's with me today. Batman on Film and the Batman on Film Social Hour is part of the Batman Podcast Network. We host it as well. We are the host of that website and network. And check out all the shows at batmanpodcastnetwork.com. And we also have a Twitter feed run by Ryan Haas. It's at BatPod Network. Am I right, boys?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And just one update. I mentioned my son's shows and recently added addition to the BPN, and they have they branded themselves a new name. It's now called Vinyl Voyage. So check it out. I think there was another podcast by had a similar name to what they originally were going by. So they've changed it to Vinyl Voyage. And if you like what we do here at Batman on Film, want to help us support, keep this thing going, become a Patreon, patreon.com/Batman on Film. All right, join me today is two senior Batman on Film contributors, Pete Vera and Ryan Lauer. Ryan, how are you?
I am great, Bill. Thanks for the invitation to come on. Always fun to talk anything Batman with you and Bat Brother Peter Vera, the Italian from the Northeast. There are no other ones. He is the king of New Jersey. Huh?
The king of Little Italy, I guess. But good to be here.
I'm all right. Here. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about how much Batman we're going to get into, because we're going to talk about first about the what I thought was the most to date, the most accurate depiction of the whole Snyder Cut movement, the whole Justice League fiasco, everything that happened. Some things I think that were, I don't say they weren't accurate. I think some things were maybe even missing. Not my place to fill in the blanks, but we're going to discuss anyway, because the main reason is, and I really want to bring this up, is because I have long been a champion and someone who supported good online fan behavior. And if you followed me for any amount of time, you know that's true. And One of the things that really, I'll be frank with you, I might have supported the whole hashtag movement if it were not for those toxic fans and the fact that, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, that Mr. Snyder never came out and said for them to stop. And I have an issue with that. I'm sorry. So, this article does really confront him on that, and it also talks about toxic fandom from that group, and I want to bring it up, quite frankly. We're also going to talk about the premiere of Superman and Lois on the CW, which I like quite a bit, surprisingly.
It's very good.
I'm not a fan of the CW shows, to be honest. So we're going to get to that. That's going to be the main part of the show. So, boys, what did y'all think of the Vanity Fair article?
Laura, why don't you go first?
I had a lot of respect for the writer, I think, for trying to encapsulate a very dense situation that had a lot of different paths to go down, condensed a lot of it, confronted with, you know, giving us some sympathy for obviously the tragedies that the Snyder mm-hmm. family faced, as well as, you know, absolutely. Like you just said, kind of confronting with the online behavior of some of these people that have been mm-hmm. pushing for this movement. And I think it was respectfully done. Obviously, Bill, you know a lot more than we do on the mm-hmm. whole event, but for me, there was some stuff in here that I'm like, I haven't read that before. I haven't heard that before. Mm-hmm. And some of it is, of course, in favor of, you know, the movie. And then the other one is almost like, you know, negative on behavior of mm-hmm. certain situations. So I just think that it was a balanced piece that also, I mean, it's kind of like if you were for the Snyder Cut and all of this, I think there's a lot in here that can make you feel like, see, you know, and support your feelings. And I think mm-hmm. if you're kind of against it, I think there's some stuff in here that can be like, see, so it kind of can pick and choose whatever side of the fence you're on. And there's some information in there that can support the way that you feel. Yeah. As long as you're not a dick.
Yeah. that's the best way to put it. As long as you're not a dick. Pete, what was your just overall thought?
No, I'm with Laura. I think it was very neutral. You know, I think there's a place to talk about the toxic fandom, and there's a place for the good fans who, you know, fought the good fight for the movie. I saw a lot of them on Twitter, the good ones champion the article and say it was a fair and opinionated piece, and I thought they were right on that. But I also thought it really, you know, hit the nail on the head with a lot of topics. And like Laura said, there was a lot of stuff in there that I didn't know, like Nolan and Deborah Snyder watching the movie and being like, oh man, you can't watch this. I found that very interesting. I was like, oh wow. Because Nolan being an executive producer, I was wondering how much he had involvement in any of this, really, you know, post Man of Steel. I figured like he was kind of a producer in name only. So that was an interesting little piece that I saw. But
I may have actually laughed at that part to just be like, man, a fly on the wall of Christopher Nolan sitting in there and watching that movie. But can you remove my name or something?
Yeah. Else? I just really like, yeah, I mean,
he's a director's director, you know, and so he would champion the filmmaker's vision being seen, mm-hmm. Of course. On the other hand, I still think that both the Snyders knew what Warner Brothers wanted, and they wanted Joss Whedon to do. So I can't be that much of a shock that they dramatically altered the film. That was the deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially post BVS. They changed it seems like they changed the film on the fly immediately after that movie.
Okay, let me ask y'all this. What in the article, and I'll say it this way, it confirms a lot of things that a lot of the trades, a lot of people in the trades, what I have said, it confirms that. And was there anything that way it was worded or anything, did it surprise you, or did you gonna go aha, yeah, or just thoughts in that regard?
Yeah, the Joss Whedon Batgirl thing. At the time, my memory's a little foggy, but I remember you were spitting truths at us in 2017. But when Whedon was brought on and they said developing a Batgirl film,
mm-hmm.
At the time, of course, you could be like, oh, cool, Batgirl movie mm-hmm. is coming. I think you were skeptical and you were letting anybody involved or reading the site kind of know.
At the beginning, I was like, yeah, cool. You know, it wasn't until the dots started connecting, you know, as the story unfolded, you went, okay.
Yeah, in the article it said that Jeff Johns was going to work on a Batgirl movie with Whedon or come up mm-hmm. with an idea, story point or something like that. And then it was Snyder said, hey, maybe Whedon can write some scenes that could be fun. And then he just got a little bit more into the role. And it's like, sure, that may have happened. I wasn't there. But then it was when he quote unquote left the Batgirl project because he didn't have an idea. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well now, you know, hindsight's 2020. You look back and it's like, oh, look at the timing of this. Look what it spawned into. And he doesn't have an idea for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they really hire people that don't have a story? Like, then it got skeptical. And so I just think this article kind of fleshed that out a little bit to connect the dots of, for some of us that maybe didn't want to believe it in 2017, it's like, look at the timeline. look at the timeline and it matches up with what was really going on.
Pete?
What really stood out to me actually was Snyder talking about Geoff Johns. He said that Johns and Berg were not threatening and he knew why they were there. You know, he didn't feel threatened by them, but he knew they were his babysitters. And Geoff Johns has been a target of the Snyder fandom for a long time now. You know, he's the snake, he can't be trusted and whatnot. So I wonder if this will, you know, if the fact that Snyder himself said that, like, you know, well, Johns is just kind of, he was there and he wasn't threatening. I wonder if they'll back down a little bit just because he's been such a huge target to them. So I found that very interesting because he didn't say anything really bad about Johns. It kind of sounds like he was doing his job and I know he was doing his job. And I'm just curious as to where it goes from there because I know he is, he's not well-liked amongst that group of fans.
Okay. The article says, and I'm paraphrasing, it says that, trying to think in how he framed it because it was excellent. I thought it was that Mr. Snyder wasn't the first director to have a film taken away from him in Hollywood. Also, it mentions that that he had lost creative control over the film. What did that mean to you all? I mean, doesn't it kind of confirm that Mr. Snyder was not involved as the total creative power for quite a while before he finally left? No.
Yeah, I mean, it went from being a director's film to a producer studio film, right? Like that's kind of that's kind of how you read into that. I don't know if you can say he was fired or whatnot. Like I don't know exactly if that's the word you want to use.
I don't think that
because he was still around.
I don't think either side wanted the other to go away. Does that make sense? They both needed each other for a lot of reasons.
It is everything else about this movie. It's very interesting.
Yes, it is. I find the whole story fascinating.
It is.
Ryan?
It would make for a hell of a documentary.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, ultimately, I think the last time that I was on for the social hour, we'd mentioned of how they greenlit Justice League with Zack Snyder attached, which means, to me, you agreed to let him do his thing. So let him do his thing. It's also WB's money. It's their product. If they want something to change, they can. Sometimes in history, like studio interference isn't a bad thing. Sometimes you've seen director's cuts of movies that
Rogue
it's like, oh, I prefer theatrical. I prefer the studio meddling. And something in here that I totally support WB on was reading about how Bruce and Lois were going to hook up and Warner Brothers said no. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I totally support Warner Brothers in this idea because that I don't like that. Not at all. So to remove him creatively, I don't know. It's a shit show. So to how you say each one needed the other, I totally agree. Because Warner Brothers would have had bad press to fire Zack Snyder in the midst of that. But then how much will can you have of like, well, I had this vision. Now I'm just here pushing the buttons for you.
In name only.
Yeah, in that regard, I'm extremely sympathetic to Mr. Snyder. I am said many times that if they knew, which they did, I think we talked about that before, after BVS, before BVS came out, that they knew that this is not what they really wanted to put out. They should have either just cut ties with him after BVS.
It was one or the other.
Despite the fact that Justice League was about to go in front of the camera within a month or so, or they should have just said, you know, hey, we've done this to ourselves. We've gone this far because of the decisions we've made. We put this man in charge creatively of the entire DC on film universe. So we're either going to sink or swim. We're going to sink or swim and let the audience decide. I think that's where I'm at. And that's, I've always said that, you know?
Yeah. They should have just released this 2:14 movie, to be honest. And you know, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have to deal with any of this.
Yeah.
You know, they should have just done it from the get go instead of creating all this hassle. Cause I don't understand how they thought, even if they didn't have faith in that Justice League film, I don't know how they thought reshooting the movie in like 4 months was a good idea to begin with.
You know, because it wasn't. And I say that as someone who did the, when I saw Justice League on the big screen at the press screen, I didn't hate it. I came out and said I didn't think it was that big of a dumpster fire as I thought it was going to be.
It's a live action cartoon.
You know,
that's how I look.
So
at it.
You know, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But I don't think everyone has a hand in this that was involved. No,
nobody's innocent. They're all
That's what I'm saying.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, no one's innocent.
Guilty
no,
by association. It, you know. Whatever you want to say.
All right, let's talk about the really what I wanted to get to. Look, the bottom line is, Mr. Snyder gets to make his film. His fans get to see it, and I guess that's the close to a happy ending as you're going to get from that point of view. Yeah. So
and he had no restrictions on this, I think, too, is what he'd mentioned in the article of basically has total creative freedom for this HBO Max Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah. So they wanted to release that a work print or whatever, the unfinished movie, and he didn't want to do that. So
yeah.
I'm glad he got his creative control.
Like you said, as much of a happy ending as you could think when it comes to releasing the movie he wants, I don't see how he would not be pleased with being able to put it together, the cut that's ultimately coming on March 18th.
Yeah, good on him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of y'all are fans of BVS. We've stated that several times.
Yeah.
Has the toxic fandom of the hashtag movement tainted your opinion of what we're about to get on here in a couple of weeks in March?
It's not about what I'm going to see. It's just how hyperbolic they're going to be after the movie. After this movie comes out, it'll be better than Jaws. It'll be better than The Godfather. It's going to be the greatest piece of cinema ever created. So it's the fact that, like, I feel like someone can't act rationally, you know, like I like BVS, but you know, I think BVS is arguably the fifth best Batman movie. Like probably Batman Returns I would put up ahead of it, you know, in just my rankings. It's hard to top the trilogy in 89. It just is. In whatever order you want to put those four movies, and then I throw Batman Returns for me. I know Bill probably puts Batman Returns away at the bottom with BVS, but I think it's arguably the fifth best Batman movie. And just, I just wish they could just, like, I'm not trying to tell people what you like and what you don't like, but I mean, come on, just be a little bit more realistic. If this thing is great,
yeah,
fine, but like, don't proclaim it to be like, you know, the greatest thing that ever touched.
Yeah. But besides, I mean, we know that's coming. That hyperbolic stuff is coming. Yeah. I mean, so that's just going to have to be, you're just going to have to ignore it. But I guess what I'm getting at is, has it tainted your anticipation and excitement to see this?
Yes.
Film?
I think I told Pete, I used an example and said, it's almost like I was dating a girl that I was swooning over. She dumped me in 2017, played the whole game of I don't know if we should get back together or not. Then she started dating someone else. I moved on. 3 years later, she comes back and says, hey, do you want to give it another shot?
Like, yeah.
I may be single now, but I've moved on from you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of me and Snyder's vision with this. If this was coming in 2017 or 2018, I'd have been a lot more excited. And then, then of course, you add into it also the toxicity online, and I'm actively try to avoid it, and still somehow I come face to face with that. And some of it I can blame Peter Vera here because he does it, that bastard. But otherwise, the fandom's kind of, for you know, as Pete just said, also it's hyperbolic, and Snyder's gonna top Hitchcock and Spielberg as the greatest director of all time, and it's like, he's not, man. Like, cool your jets. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm with Lauer. I've just moved on from this take on these characters, as mm-hmm. crazy as that sounds. You know, as someone who really enjoyed BVS and Man of Steel, I'm ready for the Batman. I'm ready for the Suicide Squad. I'm ready for Shazam too. You know,
still blocking out that noise though, and just being in my own, like, I'm here by myself right now, and I'm away from the internet. I can get a little more like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I can get a little excited as long as I stay away from the noise.
Yeah.
So of course, March 18th, as soon as I can watch it, I'm gonna watch it. I hope I really like it. So.
I'm so curious just to find out who was right, who was wrong, what was true, what was not true, what was fan BS, whose podcast was not telling us the actual facts and all that stuff. Like, I'm dying. That's what I'm really excited to see. I don't know if it's as much, oh man, like, this movie is going to be great, as much as, like, I'm really interested in comparing it to 2017 and finding out how this, I've never been one to be like, oh, I wonder how the sausage is made until Justice League. Cause it's, such an interesting story. I could care less how any other movie is made.
Yeah.
Except for this one's just so fascinating because of all the twists and turns.
So what I really respected about this article was that I thought the author did a really good job of discussing and bringing up and confronting the Snyders with the toxic fandom. Mm-hmm. And even brought in an example of someone who's experienced it. Online journalist was quoted in the story. And so, Pete, you got any of those quotes handy?
I got a few of them. Yeah.
Okay. Because he really did. I mean, flat out bring it out that it was.
And I think he said something almost as if, like, Snyder kind of shivered at when he, or something. I don't know what the exact term was, but almost like Snyder had a reaction.
Yeah.
Had a reaction to him reading it. And it's like,
oh, you want me to read them? I'll read them.
Like, go ahead. Since Ryan brought it up, when he asked the Snyders about it.
Let's see. Well, Deborah said, as for the fan base, the Snyder movement has contributed $500,000 to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention through donations, sales of merchandise, and auction props. People have been saying, oh, they've been attacked, says Deborah. Snyder, her eyes tearing, but this fan base has saved lives. As much as they wanted something for themselves, they've come together for this amazing cause. You feel the helpless trying to help someone, and you don't know what to do. It's literally life or death, and I feel like we really didn't know where to turn.
Isn't it unfortunate that the toxic fans have overshadowed the good stuff that the good fans did?
It's, you know, because you want to give them credit for raising all this money. I think they've raised close to $500,000, and that's a mm-hmm. huge amount of money.
Absolutely.
To help people who are in need with, mm-hmm. with, I would clarify this as mental health.
I think that that pisses me off for sure on many levels, because it's both, privately, personally, I have a connection to, the suicide aspect, and I have not even considered the fact of donating to AFSP because the toxic people have kind of ruined that. It's like, let me found a different outlet. Not that I'm mm-hmm. against putting money toward this or anything like that, but the amount of toxicity has, like, almost damaged that of, like, I can be an asshole because I'm raising money for AFSP. And then send death threats and all that shit to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this, you've tainted this now. Like, come on.
There absolutely are people in the toxic fan aspect of these Snyder fans who did contribute to that function or that the charity or whatever, mm-hmm. and feel that that's their shield to act like a complete jerk off online and make death threats and threaten people and harass people online. And mm-hmm. That's a shame, because there are some good fans. I mean, it was the good fans of that movement who set that up.
Yep.
You know,
the reason that they've raised $500,000 of it is because mm-hmm. of the good people behind it.
Yeah.
So I applaud them. It's too bad that they've got this minority in that are overshadowing them. That are ruining it. I'm not ruining it. It's like I'm acting as if it's not still being productive, because it is. It totally is. But look what they've done for me. They've annoyed me to where I don't want to pursue giving to that. And I'll find another outlet, which in the end, as long as I'm just giving anyway, then that's
And I'll
that's
say this good, because but. I was accused of being, of quote unquote, making fun of suicide. And because we criticized that bad aspect of fandoms. If you criticize the bad aspect of that fandom, well, then you are making fun of suicide. See, they have equating what they're doing with, this was all about suicide prevention. Very important member, longtime member of Team BOF. We lost them a year ago. And I gave to suicide prevention because of that. I have several times. Mm-hmm. So anyone accusing me or Batman on Film or any of us here, because that's bullshit and you know it, and you're doing it over a fucking movie. Come on, man. Give me a break.
Whoever.
And I don't know. I don't even want to mention the end of the person.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They don't. They're not worthy this. Of it.
They're going to hear this. They're going to know who they are. Listening. And I have no respect for them.
And they will listen.
Pete, that's if you've true. Got in Mr. Snyder's reaction. When asked about the toxic fans.
All right. Well, this is because of Peter Vera. So I'll read it because I got it here because Pete sent it to me. The trolls may have actually held back the movement like looters at an otherwise peaceful demonstration. Snyder cringes at descriptions of the abusive tactics. Quote, I 100% think it's wrong, he says. I don't think that anyone should be calling anyone anything. I've always tried to give people in the fandom attention who do good things. End quote. And I do agree with that mindset of like, yes, let's share the positivity, let's not give the voice to the detractors, the negatives, like nope, let's keep it positive. In a position of power, I think that's part of the responsibility, though, is if you have people that are supporting you and acting awfully, it does not take much energy to, hey, this is unacceptable, let's keep this positive, like some message, some wording.
It's weird because I think it was 178 podcast with Garrett and I, we talked to Sean O'Connell about his release of Snyder Cut book. And I brought up the F. Elmo situation. And, you know, the toxic fans bombarded that tweet. They said, you know, F. Elmo, we want the Snyder Cut. And Snyder's quote was, that's rad. You know, like he never once said, guys, and I, this is what I said to Sean in the interview. I was like, how come Snyder never said, can we not do this? Let's do it in a more classy fashion. He's never pumped the brakes on the toxicity. He's always applauded the good stuff. He's always backed his fans, but he's never told them like, let's not, you know, attack this person. Let's not attack that tweet. Let's not, you know, bombard an HBO, AT&T's tweets about phone service or when they appointed the new head of like DC, or you know, everyone asked her about the Snyder Cut and everything like that. Like, I just feel like he could have done more, in my opinion.
Yeah, right? And as someone who was a recipient of this vile behavior, and by extension, y'all have dealt with it, just for being associated with Batman on Film, I wish you would have said something. I wish you would have said something. And that's all you have, just like Ryan said, hey, keep it positive. I appreciate your support, but the way you're doing it is not the way to do it.
I mean, we don't have to agree. That's totally fine. We disagree 100%. You don't have to be an asshole. But just keep scrolling. That's it. Just keep scrolling.
How many times have me and Bill have never even gotten to an argument? An argument over Batman Returns or BVS. We've had several conversations, but not once have we ever yelled at each other. We've never cursed at each other. No. But it seems like for some people, if you don't like something, and this goes to like Dre, I can't pronounce her name.
Lemonetti.
She's a fantastic podcast, The Arkham Sessions. I highly recommend everyone listening to it after you listen to Straight Outta Gotham. But her podcast is absolutely phenomenal. And she's a psychologist at UCLA. And she just says, like, fans can get especially aggressive on social media when they feel like they're being denied something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you criticize them and deny, no one's denying your love and passion for something. Go and love it and enjoy it. But if someone says, I didn't dig that,
That's not them degrading you or taking away your fan card or saying, hey, I'm more of a fan than you because I like this thing and this thing's well received. That's not what's going on. It's just an opinion. And it's weird for someone like me who can be like, while I enjoy BVS, that email scene is a little, I can't get into that. You know, like,
Lois. You're wrong, Peter. You're Lois wrong.
At the right place at the right time. Like, I don't know if that's how it would have worked out. But overall, like, the movie's really good to me. I can look past those few flaws that I have, but I like it. You know, like, Bill, we how many times do we argue about, you know, Batman Returns? I mean, the Penguin. I love Danny DeVito in Batman Returns. That's probably one of the things you can't stand the most, you know, but we've never gotten into one fight about it.
I got other stuff going on. Way more important than
it's Danny it's DeVito so
and the Penguin in Batman Returns, you know?
That it's Ben Affleck, that gif that we constantly use, that he's like, these are fictional characters. Yeah. Like, that's so perfect that he's the face behind those
and
words.
I want
that
to talk about like, these characters. You know, I want to talk about, I want to talk about what I like and what I don't like, and I want to hear your opinion. That's not me telling you you're an idiot.
No.
Yeah. Tell me why you don't like the DeVito character, because I got reasons why. You know, I love how it makes that character more than just some idiot
it's
with
not,
an umbrella.
Yeah. Me, Batman on Film reporting in May, June of 2017 that the reshoots were not standard pickups and they were extensive and making some significant changes is not me saying F you to all these fans who love Zack Snyder stuff. I'm just telling you, and you know what? That was true. And you got... Batman Film got blasted for that. Oh, no, he's finishing Zack's vision. And then now it's not, you know, we don't know. Me not liking BVS is not a personal attack on anybody that does. It's not me hating on Zack Snyder or anybody else. It's just the fact.
I told somebody on Twitter not too long ago, and this was about you, like, you're telling the truth. You're telling the news. You have to separate facts from emotion. You're emotionally upset because you don't like what you're hearing. That doesn't mean it's not true. You've got to separate the two.
Bill said this. It's like, he took my house and he kicked my dog. That son of a bitch. Like, nah, he didn't do either one. He just said something you didn't want to hear, and that's fine. Just keep scrolling.
It's funny to me how a retired football coach in Texas can sometimes break the internet.
The power you have, Phil. The power you have.
You can't. I'm shaking my head just in this the craziness of it all. If you can't, because you can't see us. But before we move on to Superman and Lois, just if you've got that section of the article, he talks about the bad fandom, and he brings up there's a quote from a young lady who writes for a website that I thought was very, very telling. Either you have that one.
Are you talking about Kaylee Donaldson?
Yes. Yes. Kaylee Donaldson.
Okay. So
is that Pajiba.com?
Yes. It says, okay. a noxious contingent of followers, though, didn't just advocate for the movie, but also use social media to attack people who are critical of Snyder or their cause. Maybe they hope to silence dissenters, or maybe they were just trolling, just trolls being trolls. In any case, film journalists with negative takes reported getting swarmed with insults and even threats. Unfortunately, I think a lot of online fandom and fandom culture is headed in a very toxic direction, says Kaylee Donaldson, who writes for Pajiba.com. It is
Pajiba,
thank you. you know me and pronunciation.
Yeah, I know. I'm here for you.
Especially strong from Snyder cult acolytes, she adds. Perhaps they respond misguidedly to the director's tales of loner heroes in a hostile world. I don't get this from the Birds of Prey fans or the Shazam fans, says Donaldson. I got a little bit from the Joker fans, but nowhere near to the same level. Nonetheless, she's looking forward to Snyder's movie. I think 300 is a great film. I think the first 10 minutes of Watchmen are some of the best things of any superhero movies ever done. If she doesn't end up liking the Snyder cut, she says, I would rather watch one person's chaos than a committee snooze fest. I think we all agree on that, right?
Yes. Like,
he should have made his movie. His fans are crazy. We all like his other movies for the most part, right? Like, 300's fantastic. Watchmen's great. I love Dawn of the Dead. Like,
when
I haven't seen the Owl movie or Sucker Punch. I'm sorry.
When fans were raging on Man of Steel in 2013, I was one of the ones that said, I love that movie. borderline.
I defend the third act. I defend him snapping Zod's neck. I think I think it's because it's like Man of Steel is a complete, and this is Warner Brothers being Warner Brothers. Man of Steel is completely reactionary to Superman Returns. Everyone said there's not enough action in Superman Returns. He doesn't punch anything. All he does is lift this giant green rock and get stabbed once. So what happens in Man of Steel? The two of them destroy a whole city. And guess what? They're Kryptonians. That's what would actually happen. So it makes sense. And then it's like, well, what is he going to do? Either those four people die or Zod dies. On day one of the job, Superman has no code. He's figuring it out as he goes along. I get it. Like, I'm sorry. It makes sense to me.
Also, he snapped a neck and he's not like, booyah, or anything like that. Instantly.
He's not happy doing it himself.
He did not enjoy doing it. So I think that was such a, like, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a movie 8 years old.
Yeah, I mean, real quick. Well, I'm with you. Look, because it's a great segue because we're talking about Superman, but just to finish up here, I thought it was a fantastic article. I think props to the writer, fantastic job. I don't want to say his name because I'm going to butcher it. Who's a good pronouncer of names? Because I don't want to.
I'll say the first name. Lauer can say his last name. Anthony
Bresnikan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony Bresnikan.
Props to him. I would love to have him on to discuss that article. And again, props to him for calling out the bad fandom, giving examples, or asking people who have been the recipients of that, and pressing the Snyders on that. And as a fan of Mr. Snyder, I wish he would have said something. I'm hoping after all this is said and done here shortly, in a few weeks, that I hope fandom is better. I hope it gets better. I worry that it's not. Wish he could have done something to make fandom a little bit better. And that's all I'll say on that. So let's turn the page and talk about something that's way more positive. And that is Superman and Lois that premiered last night on the CW. I know Pete watched it and then they did a show last night on it. So check out that, please. Pete, plug that real quick.
Yeah, we did over at Straight Outta Gotham on our YouTube page. We did what we call Straight Outta Gotham Tonight. Me, Eric Holzman, the Vigilante 1939 boys, Nick Zednik and Nico Caruso joined us. I'm missing somebody. Oh, and Javi joined us as well. BLF contributor. So we talked to a lot of Superman and Lois, and it was just right off the bat, I thought it was fantastic. Really did just a really wonderful blending of past and present Superman, honoring everything from Action Comics to Superman 78, even giving Superman Returns, Superman for All Seasons, even a little Man of Steel. Superman 3 was even referenced. Hobby pointed that out to me. I was shocked when I was just Max Fleischer. I mean,
yes.
If you've been waiting for something Superman to get excited about, this, it's finally here. I know people are kind of divided on the Cavill stuff, but this seems to be the culmination of just love. And this is what I thought a true love letter to that character.
I DVR'd it and watched it this morning. And I'm full disclosure, I don't think I've ever seen the two main actors, Superman and Lois, in any of the CW stuff, except for just maybe a clip that I've come across online or publicity steals. I didn't watch any of the Crisis stuff or any of that thing. So, the CW stuff really hasn't been my cup of tea.
You should watch Crisis at least. I think you get a kick out of it.
And it's not great. The only part of Crisis I did watch the clip with Brandon Routh as Superman, returning as Superman. I did watch that because I kind of like Superman Returns. But anyway.
Knox is in it.
Yes, he is. I saw that part. So, I said after watching it, I put it on Twitter, it's just the best Superman thing I've seen in a long time. And I will go far back to say, as someone who saw Superman the movie in 1978 as a 13-year-old junior hire, who loves that film, this may be the best Superman thing I've seen since then. And I say that as someone who doesn't hate Superman Returns, someone who watched a majority of the Smallville run, someone who watched Lois and Clark, As someone who borderline loves Man of Steel, this I just thought it was really, really good. It was not what I was expecting it to be. Everything Pete said, I agree with. And I'll just say my only concern is I hope it doesn't go the route of the CW soap op, you know, teen soap type of stuff.
Because I don't think it's going to do that. Because I feel
there was
like
a little bit in the premiere, right?
Okay, I feel like there's a lot of similarities between this and Black Lightning, especially. Black Lightning deals with a strong family and a strong family base, and I feel like that's kind of what they're going for. So I feel like Black Lightning has kind of pushed them along that edge, whereas everything else seems very teeny drama to you, like Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, all that stuff. And Legends is almost a comedy in itself, so it's on its own world. But I feel like this and Black Lightning are totally different from most of the other CW stuff.
But I think it's... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead.
It's funny because you actually texted me and asked about coming on right when the credits were rolling.
Okay.
My first viewing. So I just snuck it in. But I mean, in short, it's just kind of like, I think that it was perfect. I loved beginning to end. And I think what I really loved about it was the fact of it's kind of not what I was expecting. It did not deviate from almost an origin. We got a quick catching us up right at the beginning, mm-hmm. which was really cool. And then everything that you know, almost everything that you've read with Superman could have happened in this universe. We're talking about this takes place after that. So mm-hmm. his origin story, whatever version you want, can fit the daily plan and all that stuff. This picks up like way after he's been Superman and he has, you know, teenage mm-hmm. kids and stuff. So it's like, I think that it's a fresh version of a story we haven't really seen. And I dug the tone. Superman, I dug
years, you know, like,
yeah, I dug the look. I dug the tone. I mean, I hope it doesn't go into the CW teen drama, whatever. But the little bit that was in this, I think it was earned to help set up and further set up the story, set up the tensions in the story. And yeah, I loved it.
I'd like the twist with the two sons. I won't say mm-hmm. what it is, because they make you think one thing, and it's mm-hmm. it's another. I liked how, God, I don't want to do any spoilers. Would it be a spoiler to say?
Batman shows up, yes.
I don't think, I don't want to spoil it, but I don't think it's a spoiler. I like the way Superman is revealed to them. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
does that make sense? Okay.
I do too. You could relate to this, right? Because like you've been on both sides. You are not only are you a father, but like you were a kid at one point.
Yeah.
So like you're watching this movie, and you're like, oh, this kid's a dick. His parents are trying to help him, trying to guide him along, and but then you could see his aspect. You're like, yeah, Clark should have been there. Clark should have done that. And it's tough. It's tough. I felt it was very relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like we've all been in those situations.
Yeah.
Well, I think Lois's comments to him so much of like what humanity is and what life is, like life not going according to plan, you hitting, I don't know her exact words, but basically you hitting these speed bumps, it just means that you're human. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's, I don't know, that's true, because for all of us, we get blindsided by mm-hmm. life. Like no mm-hmm. matter how much we try to avoid it, like shit happens. So it's actually not that I need to, the best stories for superheroes is when we see our superheroes go through shit. We like to see the world just dump on them, because the other end of that is them overcoming it. So I just think that was really humanizing of the character. And mm-hmm. I really like that.
I thought the writing was very good. The dialogue was awesome. There was not anything that I thought was where I rolled my eyes or thought it was cheesy as hell or anything. I thought it was really, really, really done well. I like the villain. I'm interested mm-hmm. to see where that goes.
Yeah,
there's a lot you don't know or get yet, you know.
The special effects were great.
They were really good, weren't they? Absolutely,
yeah, I'm very impressed.
Yeah,
the scattering of seeing him suited up and those action scenes. Like if you look at the length of an episode and how much Superman is in it, it's it's probably not as much as you'd think, but the way that they insert it, mm-hmm. it earns its place to make those moments feel powerful and feel like
way, there's way more Clark.
Really good.
You know, which is, you know, it was great.
And I was never bored. I was never bored. No. Like, when Superman showing up, it's like, I was invested from beginning to end. So well done.
And I like the way, go ahead. Go ahead, Pete.
No, it's just, it seems like Superman, even though his name is the first name in the title of the show, it seems like it's more about the Kents.
Yeah.
It's about how Clark, deals. And Clark says this in the show. Like, he's like, you know, I'm not his words, but you know, I'm Clark Kent and I just happen to be Superman. So it kind of feels like they all know that. And it's about the family. It's about, you know, these boys learning. Now it's about, you know, well, how do we guide them through this stage of their mm-hmm. lives? We've for the last 16 years, we've kind of held things back and we've guided them a specific way, but now things have taken, like Ryan said, life has hit us and sideswiped us. And now we have to, we've got to take this other road and we've got to guide them in a different way. And you could see that family relationship. And I think that's mostly what the show is about. And I think there'll be some Superman elements, but I think the balance is perfect.
Yeah. And so the fact that it seems like I know Superman's going to like do Superman stuff and save people. And it's going to be like a villain, blah, blah, blah. But it looks like they've learned not to do the super villain of the week type thing mm-hmm. that Smallville got in with mm-hmm. the setup of the villain of this one. It seems to be going to be a long-term thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that. I recommend it to anybody who was hesitant. Maybe they were like me or hesitant about the CW DC shows. I used to be.
I just hope it keeps the momentum.
You know, I
hope it
does. I do too.
It throw everything at the pilot, and it takes it down because it's really great. And
do we know how many episodes? Do we know how many episodes this season?
I do not.
15 total. So 15? Originally it was 13. They added 2 episodes, so we have 14 more.
I mean, I'm glad that it's not the 22 or 23.
Oh, thank God!
Because I feel like then we'd have some clunkers because they've got to fill it and. So yeah, to have fewer episodes, I think, could mean that they could strive and get 15 great episodes instead of 22, mostly good, or something.
All right, so you got a thumbs up on it from all of us. So, like I was gonna say, if you're like me and we're skeptical, give it a shot. You know, especially the opening scene was cool, but the whole, you know. Homage to Action Comics #1 and then the mm-hmm. Fleischer suit and then what he says to the kid, that was so amazing. Superman, that's what I've missed perfect. About Superman for a long, long time, and it makes me go, it ain't that freaking hard, really? Is it really that hard to do a Superman in live action?
Well, it's interesting because I feel like Superman's more often than not, his home is on television. Outside, you know, I feel like outside of really 78, the greatest versions of Superman have been on the small screen.
I mean, that's a whole different topic, and I've brought it up before. Is Superman, so we don't have to get into it now, but maybe we'll talk about it later. Is it just Superman is really better suited for TV, an episodic type of shows than, you know, movies? I think you can still do a great Superman film. That's just me, but we'll talk about it later, boys. I'll leave you hanging on another topic here coming up. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Y'all plug whatever you want to plug. Pete, go ahead.
You can follow me on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Zack Snyder's favorite Vero at Pete Illustrated. Follow the show that I co-host with the champion of Long Island, Eric Holzman, Straight Out of Gotham, Straight_O_G on both Instagram and Twitter. Follow our show page on Facebook, Straight Out of Gotham. Follow our Facebook group, Straight Out of Gotham. Check out my reviews of Dark Detective, Detective Comics, Man-Bat, and on batmanonfilm.com I have toy reviews for Funko Pops, Mafex figures, McFarlane figures on Batman on Film YouTube, and just would love to just talk the good talk with you guys on Twitter.
That Dark Detective was something else. It was good.
It really was.
Ryan,
You can follow me on Twitter at @Lauer_Ryan, Lauer spelled like lower. Also follow my show, The Batman Book Club, on Twitter at @TheBatmanBC. The most recent episode had BOF alum Justin Kowalski. Before that was Peter Vera. Before that was Garrett Grev. The next episode is going to have those boys from Straight Outta Gotham, Pete and Eric Holzman, to talk Future State. That's coming up. And then, yeah, obviously go to Batman on Film and read my reviews and some of maybe an interview that I have with Mr. Lee Bermejo. And also maybe my proudest thing I've ever done is reviewing a Batwing lamp for the site last year. Check that out. And you're welcome, WB. I think I talked like 7 people into buying one. So
I got mine's right there. I'm looking at it.
One's in this room.
Yeah. All right. So I think of anything else I can mention. I guess not. Oh, I'm good. Follow me on Twitter at @BatmanOnFilm. That's where you get some of my witty conversation and my witty little things I say on Twitter. I'm not really, I'm joking, but yeah, I gotta be a little bit more personable and more, you know, more of me on that than I am. It's not just a straight news feed. If you just want links, you can sign up for our newsletter that goes out every weekend. Just find it on the Batman on Film website, and you can follow on Twitter at @TheBatmanOnFilm. I just put that's just links to Batman on Film stuff, stories, and we're getting closer to March, and we'll pretty soon we'll be able to say, guys, the Batman is coming in less than a year.
Kill me.
Woo! Yes. All right. Oh, one thing I will say, Pete, this is mainly for you. I've with all of my ranting today, and I was kind of trying to be cathartic a little bit and get some of this off my chest. I am going to watch Zack Snyder Justice League. I am going to watch all 4 hours of it. However,
you did it, Pete.
I convinced him.
For everyone listening, I will tell you exactly what I think about it. I will tell the truth. And I am promising to go in with an open mind. So just keep that in mind. I will go with open mind, but I am going to say what I really think about it, but I am going to watch it. So there you go. See, I'm a whole new person. I'm a whole new person.
Seems like you're the same person I've known for 20 years.
Well, yeah, I'm still that asshole for sure. All right. Thanks for listening to this new episode of the Batman on Film Social Hour, and we will catch you next time.
You have been listening to the official podcast of the one and only Batman on Film website. On Twitter, follow BOF at Batman on Film and the Batman Podcast Network at BatPod Network. For Jet and everyone at Batman on Film, I'm announcer Rachel. Thanks for listening to the authoritative, definitive, the original Batman on Film.